Ever wondered why you can't stop scrolling through social media, even when you know you should be doing something else? Or why certain ads seem to follow you across the internet? In W. James Potter's groundbreaking work, Media Literacy, he reveals the hidden mechanisms that govern our relationship with media. This isn't just another academic text. It's a survival guide for navigating our information-saturated world. The book has become required reading in media studies programs worldwide and has been translated into 7 languages. Its influence extends beyond academia, with tech industry leaders citing its frameworks when designing more ethical platforms. Even celebrities like Emma Watson have referenced Potter's work when discussing the importance of critical media consumption in their public advocacy. In a world where the average person processes over 10,000 media messages daily, a staggering increase from just 500 daily exposures in the 1970s, Potter's insights have never been more relevant. As he memorably puts it, a wealth of information creates a poverty of attention. Let's explore how we can reclaim control in this overwhelming media landscape. We live in an unprecedented era of information abundance. Hollywood releases over 700 hours of films annually, adding to a library exceeding 100,000 hours. Television stations generate 48 million hours of content yearly worldwide. Radio produces 65.5 million hours of programming. There are over 140 million book titles, with 5,000 new ones published daily. The web contains nearly 2 billion websites, with YouTube alone hosting over 5 billion videos and users uploading 500 new hours of video every minute. This information explosion continues to accelerate, with the total amount doubling approximately every year. Over half of all currently available information didn't exist just 1 year ago. This growth stems partly from increasing numbers of information producers. Half of all scientists who ever lived are alive today, while the numbers of musicians have doubled, artists tripled, and authors increased fivefold in recent decades. Our exposure to this flood continues climbing year after year. From 2010 to 2017, average daily media consumption jumped from 10 hours and 46 minutes to 12 hours and 14 minutes. Media has become increasingly central to our lives as we both absorb information and contribute our own content. We attempt to manage this deluge through multitasking, simultaneously listening to music, texting friends, and watching videos, cramming 3 hours of media exposure into a single hour. But this strategy fails spectacularly. If you tried watching all videos uploaded to YouTube in a single day, it would take an entire year of viewing 20 screens simultaneously every second. Multitasking increases exposure, but doesn't solve our fundamental information problem. Our mental hardware, the human brain, is remarkable but limited. It contains 100 billion neurons, each connected to up to 100,000 others. These connections constantly form, dissolve, strengthen, and weaken with new experiences. But to survive the information flood, we've developed automatic routines, learned sequences of behaviors or thoughts we apply repeatedly with minimal effort. This automaticity, mental processing without conscious effort, is how we encounter most media messages. While automatic processing offers tremendous efficiency, making thousands of decisions without mental effort, this efficiency comes at a cost. When relying exclusively on automatic routines, we miss potentially valuable messages, limit our experiences, and make suboptimal decisions. Additionally, message fatigue sets in over time. Feeling overwhelmed, we narrow our attention further, exposing ourselves to the same message types repeatedly. The central question becomes, who benefits most from how automaticity has been programmed in your mind? Media literacy isn't about avoiding media, but developing perspectives that help us navigate the flood of messages we encounter daily. Potter takes a broad approach, encompassing all media forms, acknowledging both risks and potential benefits when we engage with media mindfully. Media literacy is built on 3 essential components. 1. Skills. Rather than using the ambiguous term critical thinking, Potter identifies 7 specific skills essential to media literacy: analysis, evaluation, grouping, induction, deduction, synthesis, and abstraction. These aren't exclusive to media literacy, but are skills we already use in everyday life. The challenge isn't acquiring these skills, but improving their application when encountering media messages. 2. Knowledge structures. These are organized information sets in memory that help us understand patterns in how our worlds work. Unlike random facts, properly structured knowledge serves as a map for retrieving and acquiring information. While information, piecemeal and transitory, resides in messages, knowledge, structured and enduring, resides in our minds. Media literacy is multidimensional, constructed across 4 dimensions. The cognitive dimension focuses on factual information residing in the brain. The emotional dimension concerns how we perceive feelings in media messages and our own emotional responses. The aesthetic dimension addresses artistic and production qualities. The moral dimension focuses on values, the information residing in our conscience that helps us judge right and wrong. Media literacy exists on a continuum rather than as a binary category. Everyone occupies some position on this continuum, with no absolute zero point of complete illiteracy, nor any maximum point of complete literacy. Improvement is always possible. Our position depends on the strength of our perspectives, reflected by the number and quality of our knowledge structures. Understanding the broad range of media effects is essential for increasing media literacy and gaining control over our daily media experiences. Potter introduces a 4-dimensional perspective on media effects, examining timing, valence, intentionality, and type to help appreciate the constant influence media exert on us. Timing of effects. Media effects occur either immediately during exposure or develop gradually over time. Immediate effects, like feeling afraid during a horror movie or learning breaking news, are easier to notice because they create sudden changes and can be linked to specific messages. Long-term effects emerge only after repeated exposures, making them harder to detect since they develop gradually through patterns of media consumption. Valence of effects. Valence refers to whether effects are positive, neutral, or negative, but this judgment depends on perspective. From a consumer's view, positive effects help achieve personal goals or satisfy needs. From media business's perspective, positive effects attract large audiences and motivate repeated exposure. These perspectives often conflict. What benefits media companies, like addiction to social media, may harm consumers. Intentionality of effects. Intentionality distinguishes between expected and unexpected outcomes of media exposure. Many effects occur without our awareness or intention, happening automatically while our defenses are down. Both immediate and long-term unintentional effects can significantly impact us, even when we're trying to be active, critical viewers. Type of effects. While behavioral effects receive the most attention, like concerns about media violence leading to aggression, media influences us in many other ways. Cognitively, through beliefs and attitudes, physiologically, emotionally, and even at societal levels. Consider internet addiction as an example. It's a long-term effect requiring conditioning over time, has positive valence for media businesses, guaranteed audience, but negative for users, harmful to well-being. Involves intentionality in seeking pleasure, but not in becoming addicted, and encompasses multiple effect types in sequence: physiological, dopamine production, emotional, pleasure, behavioral, increasing engagement, and belief that increased exposures will deliver pleasure. Media effects are best viewed in terms of probability rather than as categorical occurrences. Potter distinguishes between manifested effects, those we can easily observe, and process effects, ongoing influences on how we think, feel, and act that may not be immediately visible. By focusing only on manifested effects, we greatly underestimate media's influence on us. Media industries function as an unavoidable game where players exchange resources daily. Consumers, the largest group with 330 million Americans, trade time and attention for entertainment. Advertisers negotiate access to specific audiences. Media companies compete in talent/audience/advertising markets, and employees contribute skills. Above-the-line talent, creative professionals who attract audiences, earn substantially more than below-the-line workers, those with common skills, with top celebrities earning hundreds of millions and executives making hundreds of times more than average employees. The media economic game has four key characteristics that shape how resource negotiations unfold. 1. Nature of competition. Media industries typically operate under monopolistic competition, dominated by large, powerful companies, yet allowing many businesses to compete for audiences. Companies market similar products, but invest heavily in convincing consumers that tiny differences are crucially important. 2. Complex interdependency among players. Media industry players exist in a state of complex interdependency, where one player's actions create ripple effects throughout the system. Decision makers often face conflicts of interest, like a journalist who also owns part of their news website, wanting higher salary as an employee while recognizing this reduces profits as an owner. 3. Importance of valuing resources well. Success in media negotiations depends on accurately valuing resources. Supply and demand considerations favor consumers since media messages are abundant, creating no scarcity premium. However, media businesses have clearer goals and strategies than audiences, who often consume media simply to kill time. 4. Digital convergence. Digital convergence has eroded the distinctions between analog media formats as they translate their content into digital code for transmission across multiple channels. This digitization has dramatically lowered entry barriers for entrepreneurs. Media industries have developed key economic strategies to succeed in the marketplace. 1. Maximizing profits. Media companies focus on increasing revenue while driving down expenses. They develop multiple revenue streams to counter audience fragmentation. For example, film studios don't just rely on box office sales, but also sell DVDs, digital downloads, foreign distribution rights, airline viewing licenses, soundtrack downloads, merchandise, book adaptations, and product placements. 2. Constructing audiences. Media businesses maximize profits by constructing desirable audiences to rent to advertisers. They can pursue either a quantity audience strategy, attracting the largest possible general audience, or a quality audience strategy, targeting specific niche audiences. 3. Reducing risk. Media businesses face exceptionally high risk. 80% of primetime TV shows fail to reach a second season, and most Hollywood films don't recoup their production costs. To mitigate this risk, companies have shifted to the marketing concept, starting with audience research to identify unmet needs before developing content. Media programmers have abandoned the mass audience concept in favor of specialized niches. The term mass communication originated when scholars believed all audience members processed messages uniformly. This perspective assumed industrialized societies had created standardized populations where media messages affected everyone identically. By the 1950s, scholars recognized the mass audience concept was flawed. People experience media within interpersonal contexts and discuss content before, during, and after exposure. Research showed that even during major media events like the Super Bowl, less than half of Americans watch, and those who do experience it differently based on their interests and social interactions. Media programmers now create specialized messages for particular types of people rather than trying to appeal to everyone. They identify potential niche audiences, create content specifically designed for them, then sell advertisers access to these targeted groups. Media programmers face the challenge of dividing the total population into meaningful segments to target with specialized content. Audience segmentation methods have grown increasingly sophisticated, evolving through five major approaches. 1. Geographic segmentation. The oldest approach, still most important to local media like newspapers, radio stations, and local television with defined coverage areas. 2. Demographic segmentation focuses on relatively stable personal characteristics like gender, ethnicity, age, income, and education. While once highly effective, demographic segmentation has diminished in usefulness as social changes have occurred. 3. Social class segmentation. Social class isn't merely about income level, but represents a psychological worldview. Lower class individuals tend to believe their lives are shaped by powerful social forces beyond their control, emphasizing group connections for mutual support. In contrast, higher social classes focus on individual freedom and personal power. 4. Geodemographic segmentation blends geographic and demographic segmentation based on the assumption that similar people cluster in neighborhoods. 5. Psychographic segmentation represents the cutting edge of segmentation, incorporating demographics, lifestyle, and product usage variables to create comprehensive consumer profiles. Once media organizations attract audience members, they immediately work to condition them for repeated exposures. This audience conditioning strategy is essential because initial attraction costs are so high that profitability depends on repeat engagement. When encountering media messages, humans engage in three key information processing tasks. Filtering. Since humans can only consciously process about 40 pieces of information at once while receiving 11 million pieces every instant, we must filter out almost everything. This happens through automatic routines in our brains. Many media services now do significant filtering for us. Google, Amazon, and others use algorithms that incorporate our personal data to determine what we see. 2. Meaning matching. Meaning matching involves recognizing elements in a message and accessing memorized meanings for those elements. Unlike filtering, this process becomes relatively automatic once learned. It's similar to how we learn to read, initially requiring significant effort to recognize words and recall their meanings, but eventually becoming routine. 3. Meaning construction. Unlike the automatic process of meaning matching, meaning construction requires active thinking to move beyond standard denoted meanings. We engage in meaning construction when either we lack a denoted meaning for a message or when the standard meaning doesn't satisfy us. This process demands skills of induction, deduction, grouping, and synthesis. Media exposure occurs in four qualitatively different states. 1. Automatic state. In the automatic state, people are physically exposed to media messages but remain unaware of them as their minds filter them out unconsciously. Though they may appear active, clicking through websites for instance, their minds are elsewhere. 2. Attentional state. The attentional state involves conscious awareness of media messages. The key distinction is that the person is aware of the message during exposure, though the depth of analysis may vary considerably. 3. Transported state. The transported state occurs when people become so deeply immersed in media that they lose awareness of being separate from it. This state involves tunnel vision, where people enter the world of the message, experiencing narrative time instead of real time and feeling the same emotions as characters. 4. Self-reflexive state. In the self-reflexive state, people maintain hyper-awareness of both the message and their own processing of it. They analyze not just the media content, but also their own analysis, a meta-analysis that asks why they're exposing themselves to the message and why they're interpreting it as they do. People process information differently based on relatively enduring internal traits. 7 key traits influence information processing. 4 cognitive traits, field independency, crystalline intelligence, fluid intelligence, and conceptual differentiation affecting how we think, and 3 emotional traits, emotional intelligence, tolerance for ambiguity, and non-impulsiveness, affecting how we feel about information. Entertainment media blends reality and fantasy elements to trigger pleasant emotional experiences in audiences. Media creators include familiar elements to help audiences identify with characters and situations, then introduce fantasy elements to surprise and delight viewers. This spectrum ranges from subtle enhancements in situation comedies, like exaggerated personality quirks or unlikely coincidences, to extreme fantasy in science fiction with entirely imagined worlds, technologies, and beings. Popular shows like Friends exemplify this blend, featuring realistic friendship dynamics while amplifying comedic situations beyond typical daily life. People seek entertainment media for two primary reasons: to experience what's impossible in real life and to obtain experiences at lower emotional and financial costs. Historical dramas transport viewers to different eras, while fantasy series create entirely new worlds. Shows like The Crown offer intimate glimpses into royal life that would be impossible to access otherwise, while superhero films allow viewers to experience epic adventures without real-world risks. Entertainment must strike a delicate balance. It needs enough reality for audiences to process meaning easily, but enough fantasy to provide something beyond everyday experience. While entertainment media appears diverse on the surface, analysis reveals that most content follows standard designs or formulas. Like music that follows specific chord progressions and rhythms, entertainment stories adhere to structural templates that guide both creators and audiences. The hero's journey, found in works from Star Wars to The Lion King, demonstrates how similar narrative structures can yield vastly different stories. The relationship between formulas and creativity resembles house construction. While all houses need foundations, walls, and roofs, the available variations in materials, styles, and details ensure no two are identical. The most general storytelling formula requires all stories to begin with a character's problem, followed by struggles against obstacles and heightening conflict that reaches a climax where the character either achieves their goal or adapts to the conflict. Consider how romantic comedies consistently feature meet-cutes, misunderstandings, and reconciliations. Yet each film feels unique through specific character details and situations. Three essential guidelines govern this formula. Stories must generate conflict to pull audiences in, be told through a protagonist's viewpoint, and trigger emotions in the audience. Despite the apparent simplicity of storytelling formulas, producers face significant challenges in creating successful entertainment. These challenges arise from the unique demands of different media platforms, streaming versus theatrical release, constantly shifting public tastes, the rise and fall of different genres, and managing financial risk in a competitive industry. The success of franchises like Marvel demonstrates how producers navigate these challenges by combining familiar formulas with fresh elements. To increase media literacy with entertainment messages, focus on two key ideas: analyzing how producers blend reality and fantasy, and understanding how story formulas work to attract and maintain attention. This understanding becomes increasingly crucial as new formats like reality TV and social media content blur the lines between authentic and constructed experiences. Developing these analytical skills helps viewers become more discerning consumers of media, able to appreciate entertainment while maintaining awareness of its constructed nature. Developing a personal media literacy strategy begins with taking control of the influence process currently dominated by media. 10 guidelines provide a framework for this personal development. 1. Strengthen your personal locus. Your personal locus, the combination of clear goals and the drive energy to pursue them, forms the foundation of media literacy. Begin by analyzing your goals. Are they clear enough to provide direction? Are they truly yours rather than programmed by media? 2. Develop an accurate awareness of your exposure patterns. Track your media usage periodically through a diary to monitor changing interests and exposure patterns. Question whether you're broadening your media experiences or narrowing them. 3. Acquire a broad base of useful knowledge. Focus on acquiring knowledge that serves your needs rather than accumulating useless information. assess your current media knowledge structures, identifying gaps not as failures, but as opportunities for targeted improvement. 4. Think about the reality-fantasy continuum. Don't view media messages as simply real or fantasy. They always contain elements of both along a continuum. The key is developing the ability to analyze messages by breaking them into components and assessing which parts reflect reality. 5. Examine your mental codes. Periodically question why your media habits exist as they do. Have you programmed these habits to serve your needs, or have media companies programmed you to serve theirs? 6. Examine your opinions. Challenge whether your opinions are well-reasoned and supported by facts. Opinions without factual foundation or logical consistency can lead to trouble. 7. Change behaviors. Align your behaviors with your beliefs. Taking action, even symbolic actions like boycotting advertisers, gives you a sense of control over media. 8. Become more skilled at designing messages. Consider how well-designed your social media pages are, both aesthetically, photos, graphics, layout, and informationally, what you reveal about yourself. 9. Do not take privacy for granted. Before sharing anything online, consider all potential audiences: marketers, employers, friends, parents, government officials, future spouses, children, and the impression you'll create. 10. Take personal responsibility. This may be the hardest guideline. Americans tend to blame others for problems, waiting for external solutions rather than taking personal action. Media literacy development can be understood through 4 learning ladders: cognitive, emotional, moral, and aesthetic. Progress on each ladder requires mastering key skills like analysis, evaluation, grouping, induction, deduction, synthesis, abstraction. Helping others increase media literacy requires focusing beyond personal development. This includes interpersonal approaches for helping individuals, especially children, and broader initiatives targeting public education and society. 3 keys make interpersonal media literacy guidance effective: being positive rather than controlling, maintaining balance between criticism and appreciation rather than demonizing media entirely, and engaging cognitive processes to help people think critically for themselves. In our information-saturated world, media literacy isn't just an academic exercise, it's an essential survival skill. By understanding how media shapes our perceptions, influences our behaviors, and affects our emotions, we can transform from passive consumers to active, critical participants in our media environment. The journey toward media literacy is ongoing, but with each step, we gain greater control over how media influences our lives and greater appreciation for its potential benefits when used mindfully.